All right, it's time for another Saints Happy Hour quick shot. Andrew, today we're talking about most underrated player on the roster. And because we threw this together so fast, you have yours picked out. I still haven't figured out who I think is underrated on the roster, but you have your guy picked out. So go ahead. Who's the most underrated Saint on the roster?
Well, yeah, well, we just had a podcast talking about the most overrated Saints of all time, which, you know, it's a little negative, and we definitely fired some shots. So
Bobby Hebert won.
Yeah, so I was actually waiting for T-Bob to attack us on Twitter or something, so I'm glad that didn't happen. So for me, it's Willie Snead. And you look at what he's done the last 2 years. I mean, he's kind of hovered around 900 yards, so you know, he's close to a 1,000-yard receiver. But he's really – I mean, I've heard a lot of Saints fans say he's a number three. So I've heard a lot of Saints fans kind of put him down. I've definitely – he's not, you know, I think, on the radar of most people nationally. So I don't really see Snead as a household name. He certainly didn't come from much. I mean, he was cut by the Browns, kind of a practice squad guy. Mm-hmm. And then he comes to the Saints and makes a team. And, you know, there's been a lot of receivers before him, Meacham, Henderson, Lance Moore, you know, have been successful with the Saints and then not successful elsewhere. So, you know, you could certainly make the claim that he's a product of the environment. But when you look at what he does in the slot, he's kind of sneaky strong. You know, he can kind of muscle away from from defenders, and he runs great routes. He has great feel. He's got terrific hands. I mean, he reminds me of Lance Moore, but honestly, I would say he's less explosive, but more of a complete receiver than Moore was for the Saints.
Yeah.
And just, you know, the trust that Breeze has in him, especially on third downs. I mean, I just don't think the Saints trade Brandon Cooks away. I mean, that tells you all you need to know about how valuable Snead is to this team, I think.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, like you said, he's even more so than Michael Thomas and Brandon. Like, on third down, he's the guy Drew Brees is looking for. I mean, I'll take for an example, not a good moment from the Saints, but I think it sort of illustrates how Brees thinks. They're playing Tampa in Tampa this year, have the ball at the end of the game, and they can drive down and win. And I think it was third down or fourth down, and Tampa just locked on to Snead and jumped the route, picked it off, and there was no doubt in any. I was like, Drew Brees is going to Snead right here. Like, there was no doubt of where he was going. Even though Michael Thomas might end up being better, and the put up the better numbers. Like, Snead is the guy when it's on the line. He's Drew Brees' first read, and not only that, he's a guy that Drew Brees, not only will he make the first read in a clutch situation, he'll go, screw it, I'm throwing it to Willie anyway.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I think Brees kind of hovers around 70% completion percentage for a season, but you know, I think he has a higher volume passing, I would say, with the running backs, and that kind of inflates his completion percentage, and the receivers, you know, is usually a tick lower. But Snead is kind of right there at 70%. And for a receiver to have a completion percentage that high, I mean, again, that speaks to the trust. It just speaks to, I think, when Brees goes his way, he feels like it's really high efficiency. And that's, I think, a big part of why this offense operates the way it does.
Yeah, I mean, my underrated guy, I'm going to go out on it, and it's going to be a strange one because he's not totally solidified his place among a lot of Saints fans, and he's struggled a little bit to be healthy last year. That's Tyler Davidson, and I think he's underrated. I think he was a big linchpin last year in what they did against the run.
Which was massively improved.
Him and Fairley were sort of like the foundation of what they did against the run. And you look at games that he missed, like he missed that first Atlanta game against Monday night. And maybe Atlanta just trucks the Saints anyway and runs over them anyway with him. I don't know. But the fact that he missed, the Saints got run over. I think he's hugely underrated by fans and national media because his career in the NFL is going to be a run-stuffing, plugging defensive tackle. And those guys, they usually don't get paid that great because people want pass rush from the interior and they feel like they can replace a guy that's a run stuffer. But I'm telling you, man, if the Saints lose Davidson and their run defense is going to it will become almost hopeless, and it'll go back to 14-15 levels fast. And I think Davidson is underrated in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, the value that he has on the roster, especially with Fairley injured and gone for the year, or just, you know, with an ailment, his importance to the team is, I think, even more significant.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is with this roster is, you know, we dive in it so much that we sort of know it in and out, and I feel like, you know, a guy like Willie Snead is kind of on the national radar. You'll see PFF talk about him and what he does in the slot and how good he is. Tyler Davidson is a guy the national media never talks about, and Saints fans in general don't talk about it because he's just one of those guys where he's sort of like, I don't know, he's like the foundation of your house. Like, you don't think about the foundation of your house until you see a giant crack above your doorway, and you're like, oh my God.
If you're a defensive lineman and you don't get sacks, no one knows who you are.
that's true. I mean, but I feel like these two guys we've mentioned are huge. I mean, I would say it's interesting. Wide receiver and defensive tackle are sort of sneaky fragile with the Saints. You know?
Yeah. I mean, receiver, I think, was always that way. Defensive tackle, I mean, we were kind of excited about how deep it was. But that just goes to show you remove one piece. And, you know, offensive line, same way. You know, we felt really strong about the depth, but you remove one guy that's kind of a linchpin, and Fairley and Armstead were those people. And now they, I would say both of those feel kind of equally thin, like the receiving core. But, you know, it's amazing that you can take away a guy like Brandon Cooks and still feel pretty good about the passing game. But that's what Alvin Kamara, I think, in his addition does for this team. You just have to hope that. But I don't really think Fleener's a guy. I think Fleener is what he is. I don't really see him having a heavier involvement in the offense. And, you know, as good as Michael Thomas was last year, it's hard to envision him catching a lot more balls than he did. I mean, I'm sure he can improve on those numbers that he had as a rookie, but he doesn't have much higher to go. I mean, he had 90 something catches, and, you know, maybe he gets over 100, but it's not like he's going to get 30-40% more catches. So I really think the guy they're going to lean on more, and who I think Snead will be a 1,000-yard receiver in this offense, and he may see the biggest uptick besides Alvin Kamara, who didn't play last year, obviously. But yeah. But I would say he may see the biggest uptick in this offense with Cooks gone.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, Davidson obviously is going to play more that Fairley's gone, because I know people are excited about Onyemata because of his physical skills, but I'm telling you, if Tyler Davidson can get himself to 4 sacks, he is going to get paid, because a team will look at him and be like, oh, he's really good against the run. Oh, and instead of having 1.5 sacks, he had 4.5. Sure, we'll pay you $7 million. Like, so.
I'm going to tell you a quick story about Davidson. Do we have any time left?
Yeah, we do. We have 45 seconds.
Okay. I will tell you that last year when I was at the Greenbrier, Max Unger was embarrassing. Now, I include Fairley, Rankins. I don't think Rankins had broken his leg yet. So I think I saw Unger go up against those guys. He was embarrassing everyone. Unger dominated. And I remember at the time thinking, I don't know if Fairley's going to be that good, because Unger just made him look like a rag doll. And the one guy that was able to kind of power Unger and give him a lot of trouble on the one-on-ones was Davidson. And that's why he stood out to me. And I told you at the time, I called you and I said, Ralph, I think this guy Tyler Davidson might start for the Saints. And it's kind of too bad, because he had an amazing camp, awesome preseason, and then he kind of immediately got banged up, and he played the season, I think, hurt a lot. And I don't think we got a full kind of sense of how good he can be. But if he can get healthy through camp, he made a huge impression on me, and that's the reason why he moved up the depth chart, because of how good he was in training camp.
Yeah, so we'll see. So that wraps up this session of Saints Happy Hour. Hey, yeah, Saints Quick Shot, whatever. We're done. Till next time.